They've been laughing since I can remember.
Hello and welcome to a goofy version of Who Does That Pod. I am your host, Yumio, and I am here with
Headphone Joe.
This is Scott.
This is Kyle and Headphone Joe. And you guys should just
this
do it again.
This is Kyle. Well, we got them both.
It's a goofy episode.
Hey.
This is the show where we review, rank, and dig into the soundtrack of one of your favorite movies, but this is really one of my favorite movies, because this episode we are finally covering the Disney classic, Better Than Little Mermaid, and a bunch of others. Yeah, I'm still throwing shade at Mrs. Isidore. A goofy movie.
So unnecessary.
You're right. This Disney
That's
classic.
Really his. Yeah. He hates that one.
Man, and
I actually
like
the movie.
He went and did the list, and then he was like, actually, it's not as low.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
is true. Once he actually put numbers
once
to
he started
it,
saying
he how,
it was like, you know what?
How absurd that claim was.
Yeah, it was a horrible claim.
Yeah.
But bad. I'll still put this one above it so I can say it. That's the
sure.
only reason.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I can't argue.
So this no Disney too. Classic. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was released on April 7th, 1995. And fellas, for some reason, I thought this came out before Goof Troop, only to find out it came out after Goof Troop.
Oh, but,
this is a follow-up to Goof Troop, yeah.
Yep, this was a surprise for me. But the screenplay was by Jim Magon. I should have practiced the names. Also, who did the story? Screenplay also by Chris Matheson and Brian Pimentel. Directed by Kevin Lima, based on, as I stated, Goof Troop, which is by Robert Taylor and Michael Pereza Jr. This film stars Bill Farmer, Jason Marsden, no relation to James, because I looked it up, Kelly Martin.
I should have looked that up.
Rob Paulsen, no relation to Sarah, Wallace Shawn, Tevin Campbell, and Pauly Shore. So, fellas, was this either one of your first times watching it?
Make a decision.
Oh, no, I was just asking a question.
What?
I'm going to start with Kyle anyways.
There we go.
I was just going to ask.
It's not how it goes. You pick a person.
Fine. I'm the host. But please tell me.
That's correct. You got to make those decisions. You're in the driver's seat.
I had a question. I already knew I was starting with you. But okay.
Well,
crosstalk never great.
We crosstalk all the
time. I had not seen a Goofy movie.
Wow.
I know. And this wasn't even like past my era. That I always talk about, like this 1995, I'm 10 when this comes out. I don't know why I never watched it. I had friends that I know that had seen it. I know this is a beloved film for many people, including Rick, obviously, and I think Joe. But we'll get to that. So yeah, it's just one that's escaped me. Never got to it. I know we'll get to this later, but the Atlanta episode, I was like, I gotta watch it finally. But then I never did until now. So this is my first viewing of a Goofy movie. And it's funny that we did High School Musical 2 last week, or last episode. School's out. And then at the beginning of this one, guess what? School's out again. And I'm like, all right, let's go. I love that theme. I'm a big fan of getting out of school. So I was hooked from the start. But yeah, this is just, to me, as an older man watching it, this is just a solid Disney movie. I'm sure if I saw it as a kid, I'd have a lot more attachment to it. But watching it now, I'm like, there's some solid jokes. There's some really good songs we'll get to, obviously. But it's a very simple plot. Max is annoyed with his dad. He's got the crush. The crush actually likes him back, but uh-oh, they have to go on a road trip. So he's mad at his dad. But then guess what? At the end, they make up and they realize they love each other. So good, solid story there. But yeah, it's a good movie. Sometimes when I watch a movie that's like beloved, but I watch it later, like I can see why it's so beloved. I don't know if it's hooked me quite yet. I don't really see what makes this like so amazing or above other Disney movies for some people, Rick. But I don't know. It might just be like a right time, right place kind of thing. And again, I'm an old man. I'm watching a goofy movie by myself. Like, it's not the best conditions, but you know, it's solid. It's good.
And before I go to you,
I got nothing. I got no complaints about it, you know.
Perfect. Before I go to you, Brian.
Find your microphone.
Oh, no. This is the problem.
Okay.
It's recording from not the microphone, but the computer microphone.
Brian, Rich, what are your thoughts?
Don't worry. I'll fix it, Kyle. I'll fix it. It's fine.
I got you.
What I was going to say. So, unlike Kyle, this is not my first time seeing this film. I've seen this film a lot. I won't put a number, numerical value on it, but a lot. A goofy movie is an undeniable classic in my heart and in my mind. As some people will say, the Atlanta episode specifically, one of the blackest movies that exists, all about a single father trying to raise his son and make sure he doesn't fall into a life of crime. And then you got some hip-hop music, some R&B pop music, and all that good jazz. There's just something that, I mean, obviously, you know, you watch a movie at a certain time, hits you in a different way. And if this came out in 95, I probably saw it, like, cognizantly in, like, 99. I believe we had the VHS. So it's a go-to. There's something, Kyle, you hit on something specifically. There's something about a breaking for summer movie, especially for me at that time. Like, there's nothing better than, for me, it was two movies that kind of scratched that itch. It was this and Alvin and Chipmunks School's Out. Like, those two movies at that time.
I'll shout out a couple. Perfect. Sandlot.
Oh, Sandlot. Well, Sandlot is a
great classic. It's a summer.
Well, it's off. Okay, I'm about to say, I know it is kids summer, over the summer. About
I don't think it starts at school, so that specifically breaking out of school part. And Heavyweights is a great.
Never heard of
those
that
two
one.
Are also.
It does. Never it heard of Heavyweights. Starts at school. That one.
Nope. The Ben Stiller movie where they go to the Fat Camp.
It's so good. The Fat Camp movie. It's tremendous.
No, nothing.
It's like legitimately one of the funniest movies.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Gonna add it to my list.
But yeah, piece of paper.
What is it called? Not Fat Camp.
It's called Heavyweights.
Okay, because the last thing I heard was Fat Camp, and that stuck.
I think what's the name actually wrote it. Funny enough, Judd Apatow. I want to say he wrote
it's
that.
A Judd Apatow written movie. Yeah, Paul Feig directed, I believe.
Oh wow. But yeah, no.
Well, he's in it. Hold on.
One of my favorite.
I'll talk about Heavyweights for like 2 hours.
One of my favorite Disney characters has always been Goofy. There's something about Goofy. And then there's something about Max. None of the other characters, like the OG Mickey Mouse related characters, have a family. And then all of a sudden, Goofy had a family.
Goofy's got a son.
Like, Donald has nephews, but he doesn't have his own kids. And I mess with DuckTales too, but there's something about.
Is Daisy related to Donald, or are they?
They're partners? Married, I believe, or they're partners. Yeah.
Okay.
Partners of sorts. Married. Ring on
she
a finger.
Put a ring on it.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're ring on a finger.
On a wing. Ring on a wing.
But yeah. So.
But he's and, she's the mini to his.
I should Donald. Probably apologize. My voice is all out of sorts. I was screaming a lot yesterday. Just you know. Before people are like, what's with Joe's audio? It's like, I'm playing hurt.
I'm playing hurt. But no.
You could say you were screaming because you were
at a World Cup. Yeah, I was going to say not.
I was at a World Cup game. I didn't want to get into details.
You don't have to get into detail, but to say I was screaming all day, I would like to just, you know, put people at ease. There wasn't like horrible things.
I was at a World Cup game watching Haiti versus Morocco.
That's all. That's all.
It's pretty spectacular. All right. So
cheers.
Another thing about this movie. This is the second sexual awakening I had. What's my girl's name? Roxy. I'm looking at it. It's Roxanne.
Call her Roxy.
Okay. I would try to sing Police Roxanne, but can't do it right now.
Sing it like Eddie. You'll be fine. 48 hours.
But yeah, so Roxanne was just, there was something about the way she was animated, and I was like, I get why Max is into her, because I'm kind of into her. It was her, it was Jasmine, there's a couple of these where it's like, yep, figured it out.
There is something about Roxanne, isn't
there? There's something.
There's something about her.
You know what I'm saying? And then she's also like a dork, kind of. Like, she's not the cool girl in the way that she would be.
Yeah, the unobtainable popular girl. That's usually these kind of movies,
I think that lended to why I was like, oh, man, they're just like us. Like, they don't know what to say, you know? Their friends are trying to gas them up. Like, oh, man, girls aren't unapproachable. I'm like 5, 6, 7 years old, maybe.
What's a girl?
Yeah, like, I don't know. But there's something just about the bond and the relationship that Max and Goof go on, and it's just so endearing. And the father-son nature of it, and Goofy putting his trust in the Max. One, wanting to, and I think, as always with these type of movie, as a kid that didn't have a special relationship with his dad, seeing a movie where a dad is trying to have a special relationship, a special memory with his son, try to pass down memories that I did this with my father. I'm going to do this with my son. There's something there that just hits me right in between the chest. And then Max being the petulant child that doesn't want to do that because, dad, you're ruining my life. I have, you know, everything going for me here. And I've been that kid. Like, my mom wants me to go when we were living in the Daytona area. Hey, you're coming to Broward for the summer. It's like, but all my friends in school are up here. Yeah. Like,
that was always a fear. Yeah, like I've seen like movies like that. I mean, Heavyweights is like that, where you're like, you're going to camp now. He's like, I'm gonna hang out. Like, that was his whole defense.
Like, this was my summer to ingratiate myself.
You have so much planned, and then it just gets the rug pulled. But to your point, I know we'll get to Rick in a minute, but it's on top of, you know, his dad taking him away and being annoying, like from the start, the opening, he's worried about becoming his dad because his dad is literally goofy. He's goofy. He's got the laugh. He's got the weird big shoes and a long nose. So he's worried that people are going to perceive him like his dad. And now he's got to spend the whole summer with him. And it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I was about to say, and there's something about, you know, being that age and wanting to be cool and, you know, emulating the coolest things and whatnot. And yeah, man, the movie kind of loses itself now when you look at it with the whole Bigfoot of it all. That's kind of like just a random throw-in.
It's a little bit of padding.
But even in that, there's a special moment with the alphabet soup, man, and it almost got me. Hi, Dad Soup, man.
I thought you were going to say it's the song that was playing in the background that we already covered twice.
I have a note of that. This is the third movie. But what was it? Staying Alive in it.
Staying Alive?
Ah, that's what it was. I was like, I feel like there was something there.
Because we just did Staying Alive, then obviously Saturday Night Fever, and now that's Goofy funny. Movie, Staying Alive.
But yeah, man, I love the movie. Also, I mean, we probably need to write this down. Pete, terrible dude. Just let me and my son have our relationship. Stop trying to put things in my head and tell me.
Are you reading my letterbox?
Like, no, I haven't read your letterbox.
Like, one of the most, like, man, one of the biggest, like, haters ever.
Let me, like, you just hating on my relationship with my son. Like, worry about you and yours. Stop worrying about me and mine. All right. So, also, a lot of great just one-liners in this. Talk to me, baby. I said that poorly because I can't modulate my voice, but that is. It's when the girl is doing the, I think US just scored again. Nope, offsides, I'm assuming. It's when homegirl's doing like the speech before the principal comes on, and there's a kid in the audience that's like,
talk to me, baby.
That kid goes on to be Jake Long, and there's something else. He's not one of the Power Rangers. Man, he's like a famous actor. Did a lot of voice work. He's not in here on the wiki. Oh, man. But yeah, you got that. You got Pauly Shore. Hmm. Jeez. But yeah, a lot of good stuff. A lot of one-liners, especially for me at that time as a kid. A movie I just adore. Like, yeah.
Sure.
And when you said Jake Long, I was thinking of Joey
Lawrence. Jake Long, Dragon, bro, something. Dragon, Dragon, Jake Long was a TV show he was a star of. Dante Dragon? Basco. Dante Basco. He was in Hook. He was Dante in. Basco. He's.
I'm trying to figure out.
Rufio, you must be like on some, in Lost Boys.
I'm trying to figure out where he found Rufio? All these names.
The names? What do you mean the names?
Because I don't see a Jake Long anywhere.
No, his name is not Jake Long. He played American Dragon Jake Long. That's the other thing I know him from. Like, he was a titular character in a cartoon, a Saturday morning cartoon called American Dragon.
Could have led Jake with Rufio.
I couldn't remember what else he had been.
His name was Jake Long.
Bring up Jake Long. Yes, his character show, name. No one's ever watched.
Okay, so you're talking about the Jason dude, the guy who played. Like, who Jason are you speaking dude. To for in particular? Who played Jake Long?
There's
Dante Basco.
There's nobody in the Goofy movie that is Jake Long. Is that what you're getting caught up on?
Yeah, I'm like, where did this Jake Long?
No,
or?
I'm thinking of a character he has played that is named Jake Long. That's what I was saying.
His Rick, name, the actor's you, name, honestly, he did not explain this very well.
Like,
the actor's name is Dante Basco.
It's like he's like the guy in the crowd. Ended up being Jake Long, and I'm like,
that's what he said, and I was like, oh,
that's what he said.
No,
and
I'm like, that is what I said.
So I'm looking up
Jake Long.
I look up Jake Long.
I thought you meant like, oh, this guy became Jake Long.
No,
different show. Jake Long,
different show.
So at least we're on the same wavelength, Kyle.
I don't know.
Yeah, apparently.
But then he said Rufio, and
is he Rufio?
I was back on
he's
board.
Known he's as Rufio. Yeah, he's known as Rufio in The Lost Boys. He was in Spielberg's Hook, and
he's Rufio in character. Hook. You keep saying in The Lost Boys, but that's a different movie.
Oh, that's what
The Lost Boys are. The
leader of the Lost Boys in Spielberg's.
Yeah.
I was trying to read it fast, man. I saw Rufio, then Lost Boys,
the
then I saw.
There's a Rufio in Lost Boys.
He also was Prince Zuko in Avatar: The Last Airbender, the cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of voice work. That was it.
All right, because man, you threw me through a loop for that one. I was
sorry.
I was all
didn't mean to. Rick and give your
thoughts. I didn't mean to. Wasn't the intentions.
So
the
before
rails
I give my
never
thoughts,
even existed to be off of.
Since we talked about. This being the second school out movie, let's shout out our number one guest based on appearances. Not saying he's number one in everyone's hearts. Maybe he might. JT, Mr. Jeremy Taché for last week.
Yes.
High School Musical 2.
Shout out.
Who also said, heck yeah, y'all doing that movie? So I was like, man, after my own heart.
Oh, yeah, for this one. Yeah.
Now, let me take you on a journey.
I'm glad I went first.
Oh, boy is right. No. So, 1992. So now I got the date, the years right. There was a cartoon that came out with an hour episode. Like they gave the first two episodes back to back. I think it was on ABC special. Laughed so much during the first two episodes of Goo Troop. Me, my twin, and older brother all couldn't go to school the next day because we all had a fever.
Are you serious?
It was that funny.
You laughed so hard, you made yourself sick.
Laughed so hard, I got. We all got sick. Yeah, the three of us, so it's not like it was just me. It was the three of us.
Goofy fever. Fast forward to
1,000%. Now, in watching this, I think what it is when you have that nostalgia piece that hits with you, there's a certain group of folks, like if you watched it young, I think, and you loved it forever. I got Powerline t-shirts. I just got Powerline socks for happy for like Father's Day. And I got another Powerline shirt and another pair.
That's like, all I ever heard about this movie was Powerline. That's the lasting impression that got to me.
Tevin Campbell, our second Tevin Campbell showing.
Second Tevin Campbell, yeah.
So, what was the first one, Kyle?
I was going to say, does Kyle know? Put it this way, it's one of our least favorite films.
Least favorite movies, and the only time we see
Graffiti
him, he
Bridge.
Sings. Yeah, yo.
Oh, he's that kid that's hanging out with like the lady, the older lady that he lives with. Right. I remember
he's
that
like
coming
an orphan
up now.
Or whatever.
I remember that coming up now. Dude, who knows what anyone was doing in that movie?
He like starts the movie as an orphan.
And he lives with the mama or whatever her name. I don't know. She's like owns
Big
the
mama
nightclub,
or something.
Yep. Yeah, something like
she's
that.
Got a good song. I remember she had a good song.
She did have a good song.
Yeah.
One of the only good songs.
And that movie had a good movie. Two set pieces. But anyways, back to this animated. Back to this animated brilliant. So when this came out, I think the funniest thing for me as a kid was Pauly Shore's character. But you had Goof, you had Max, who was the kid trying to be cool. You had PJ, who was kind of cool, but the heavyset cool kid. Wait till the next movie. Wait till the next
movie. We're talking about this movie. We're talking about this movie.
Did that one have songs? I don't remember if that one
no
had songs.
No songs. Like but,
just a story.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to get to that
one.
Let's stick
with a Goofy movie.
I think this one has so much cultural relevance. The whole single dad thing, like you said earlier, and the whole concept of that, I was like, whatever happened to Max's mom? Something that's never discussed. Wondered. Never always discussed wondered. On Goof Troop. Never discussed anywhere. It's just
him. Is it
and Goofy.
The cow lady? I don't know.
No, that's who he gets. That's who he dates later on in the Disney zeitgeist.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she's dead. That's just me.
Yes.
Wow, Kyle. That's tough.
I mean
just drop the hammer on the kid.
I'm just assuming.
But the lengths that a kid would go to around that teenage year. Those early teenage years where you're trying to find yourself. It's like a coming to age movie. Which is why I loved it so much on this rewatch. The first time I rewatched it for this. That I turned around and watched the second movie. And I remember why I never talked about the second movie.
Whoa.
Second movie's all right. It's not great. It's all right.
It's phenomenal.
It's a decent movie.
He goes to college. Movie. And he gets into skateboarding and he's on like an X team or whatever. And then his dad is afraid of becoming an empty nester. So then he also reapplies to go to college.
No,
now they're in college.
You're
together.
Missing a certain portion of it. He gets fired
like
from
Billy Madison.
He's always getting fired.
Oh,
from
he
his
got
job.
Fired.
He got
oh,
fired from his job. And then he's like
from a as a Sears photographer.
No, by this time he's working in a factory. He lost to Sears. He lost that job.
Huh.
Taking Max to see Powerline.
That makes sense.
So now he
that doesn't seem like a
I
job.
I was wondering how he got that much PTO.
Doesn't seem like a job with a lot of PTO. They're probably just like, you can go, but you're not coming back.
Don't come back. So
you're not coming back.
With this one, because he only had a couple credits left till he graduated college with the degree, he misses his son. They're like, why don't you just go finish those credits? And that's how he ends up in college.
So he's in college and he's an X game skater?
No.
Max?
No, Max is in college and he skates. Goofy okay. joins the college because he misses. He's like, I can go back and be with my son.
No, I get that part. I'm just saying there's two things.
No, no, no. No, Max is an awesome skater by then.
Yeah, Max is like at the height of ESPN. He's in a skate crowd.
Yeah, it's like the height of like ESPN skateboarding. Like when
this is around the time Brink is also coming out on Disney Channel. And all
MVP 2, Most Extreme Primate, those kind of things. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So they scooped all that in there and ESPN Disney connection. So ESPN's on
that fishing trip.
But no, this one was one where also without a dad, I'm like, man, dads do these things?
Shit, man. Like,
oh, man. It would be nice to have a dad.
I'm like, oh, they stick with their first family?
Man. They even stick around. Fuck, they didn't forget. That's crazy. Sorry, kids, if you're listening.
That was me. That was a me reference.
Oh, no, no, I dropped the F bomb.
Oh, okay.
So, man, must be why we all get along. We have horrible dads.
Yeah. It's an interesting.
At least mine's dead, so that's a plus.
It's an interesting.
So mine's is also dead.
So, yeah. Two pluses. Sorry, Kyle.
Huh.
One day.
Both ears?
Yeah. Two different dads, so they're both dead. Awesome.
Oh, that's I thought it was a joke.
You thought it was a bit.
It was a bit going on. No, it's reality.
This is reality.
This is real, guys.
It doesn't hurt when I do the dead mom joke from The Bear.
The Bear.
Like whenever someone loses their mom, I play the scene and
dead
I'm
mom's
like,
club,
you're
man.
In the club now. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. They watch the scene.
Speaking of random tangent, Bear season 5 tonight.
It's out now.
Yep.
I got so annoyed because when you guys were like a little extra time, I was like, ooh, babe, we could watch the first episode.
Could have watched.
And then it wasn't there. And I was like, what is going on? What's wrong with this? Doesn't release until 9 p.m.
Yep. Yep.
Tough.
Tough. Super tough. But
I thought you'd be mad at me.
But no, I was a Tevin Campbell fan of sorts because I liked some of his other songs. So I was like, this guy sounds like someone I know. Must be why I like the song. I didn't realize it was Tevin Campbell until I got older. But the efforts and lengths that Goofy goes to try to save his son, make sure he doesn't end up a bad seed because of a horrible principal.
Another low-key villain, that principal, my God. Extremes.
But there's so much to love that if you were around that age group when you watched it, you would love it. So watching it as an adult, Kyle, yes, it is harder because you're like, what the hell is this?
Well, it's also I've seen these plot lines in a million things. So it's not groundbreaking as a kid to me, you know.
But you got to think about from a Disney perspective, this was before Disney tried to do anything cool. So you got like R&B, you got moonwalking on the stage, you got someone who looks like a person of color. And to say that, now you guys watched Atlanta, the episode when it was happening. I was watching that bad boy and I'm like, I'm going to start watching documentaries. This is rough. And then it got like halfway through. I'm like, hold on, this is making no sense now. So I'm like,
that made you want to start watching documentaries?
Like, I was in it because so growing up, we did have like when they did the Black Goofy with like the pants sagging and all that. That was a thing back then. Like that was a legitimate thing. Like we had clothes made like that. So I was like, this is real. So I started tying in like fake memories to it. And then when he starts to say he went up there.
That was a prediction.
So what did you tell him?
I was like, because I went and suggested it. And I was like, I know Kyle continued watching Atlanta. But I was like, I don't think Rick stuck with it to the end. So he might not know that this is a fake episode that lives in lore, and he might view it as it's real.
Wait, so you got to go back and think about our text chain, right?
I was about to say, and that's why I set it up. And that's why I set it up after you said
afterwards.
You were like, "Oh, I'm about to watch the real doc." I was like, "Oh, you should watch this one though, because it actually inspired the real doc.
So by saying that, I thought it was a doc that inspired the real doc. And then when it starts
that with was that little thing. That was what I was trying to do.
It starts with the thing that tells you, you know, like, we're doing this. Disney really didn't want to be a part of it. But right. I'm like, oh, this lady looks professional. They got Brian McKnight. By the time I saw Brian McKnight, I was like, hold on.
Sinbad is in it.
It has Brian McKnight in there.
I was like, hold on. Something seems off now. I'm 15 minutes into this episode, and I'm like,
oh, man.
But you had me till that point. So now I'm all sitting there confused. I told some other people to watch it, who I told to watch a Goofy movie, and they're like, oh, this is such a sad story. They didn't get that it was.
So backstory, this episode came out, I want to say, when I was still living in Dallas, coming back and forth to Atlanta. And it was around the time where I finally realized, like, the best way for me to fly is to watch something instead of trying to listen to a podcast or listen to music. Like, if I watch something, it kind of distracts me enough. So I would always keep a couple episodes of shows and save them for flights. So when this episode released, I had downloaded it, watched it on the plane, and I'm dying laughing. And I was like, and while I'm watching, I'm like, this cannot be real. So I'm like Googling the dude. I go to like the wiki of the movie, and I'm like, yo, Thomas this is not Washington. The director. This is, I'm like, oh man, he got me. So I was like, I think Ariel was going to do my hair that weekend. So that Saturday, I was like, oh, babe, you need to watch this doc. And she was like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, I'll throw it on. We're watching it. We get damn near to the end. And she was like, how have I not known any of this?
No.
It's really well done. Yeah.
I just started dying laughing. She's like, what? I was like, none of it's real. She's like, what?
So, hold on real quick.
It's a season 4 episode, The Goof Who Sat by the Door. That's the episode we're talking about, Atlanta. For anyone listening.
Oh, man.
But go ahead, Rick.
So now, I prepped for this last week because once I knew what was happening, I was like, okay, I'm hosting. I already watched the movie. I had my songs ranked. They're constantly changing. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to prep. So I already wrote down the whole opening of written and directed by blah, blah, blah. So I'm watching this and I'm like, so they stole this guy's movie?
They recut it without him?
Added all the Bigfoot stuff. I was like, that's how this guy got into the movie? Like, so.
Oh, man.
So, no, literally, because it's like 37 minutes long, around minute like 18, 19, I'm like, hold on. This is getting outlandish now.
I was saying, what tipped it off? Was it when he was like, see, Brian decided to go to a couple cookouts, said the wrong thing.
Said the wrong got thing. His got his ass. That was my favorite.
I was just sitting
there. He actually
there
went
like,
out there, said the wrong thing. Got his ass.
So,
you see my knees like this. Like this.
You should be drawing this. Oh, yeah.
So the last episode of Atlanta that I watched was the one with Cat Williams. So I don't know if that's the first or second episode.
That's like
of
first
three.
I think that's the first episode of season 3.
Yeah. So that's the last that I watched of Atlanta.
I don't remember. I was looking through episodes. I don't remember anything, man.
That might be the first episode of season 2 because that's Alligator Man.
I was kind of like, I might want rewatch Atlanta.
That's the same thing I said after I realized I got hoodwinked and bamboozled.
You gotta finish The Wire.
Oh,
not even talking about this.
Don't get me started on that.
We're not talking about that here. Not here.
After right, the World Cup, my life is surrounded by the World Cup. That's my excuse right now. But no, man, I was sitting in my, so I had some time at work and I'm watching it and I'm sitting in my office like sad. I'm like, oh, and then when I found that out, and then I got the text message. I was like, yeah, you know, some people lives be like that. I didn't even say it was the mockumentary. I just was like, you know what? I got fooled. Let's just run with it.
Oh, man.
So then I started watching the documentary. And the documentary wasn't bad. But I think after watching the mockumentary, and I was like, if I could just rate this one mockumentary.
Yeah, that one episode.
That one episode. That's one of the greatest mockumentaries of all time, because that's done so well. And since none of the main characters are in it.
It's played so straight, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's played the way it's played. I didn't think it was fake.
I thought
he was doing something for the culture. It's I thought he was just trying to.
Because the thing they hit on, all the things they hit on, it's like, this all kind of makes sense.
It did.
Like, it all kind of lines up. And then
the one that got me was why would
the freaking Bigfoot be in the movie? Of course they tried to divert from what he was trying to say. And it's like, oh.
The Green Book part where they're like, the map was like the Green Book of the safe places. And then they show the possum park. And it goes through the south.
I'm like, oh, man.
When they drew that, I was like, yo, it makes
sense. It does go through the south. Makes sense.
Why would the path be so crazy if, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a great episode of television.
Afterwards, I was just in there like, honestly, I said, was I going to tell you guys this or just get to the grave?
I feel like, yeah.
One of the better parts is when it's like, when it's his college professor at SCAD. Because that was the funny thing, because Ariel was like, because the episode is also based in Atlanta. So, Ariel hears SCAD. It's like, oh, okay. East Atlanta, like, oh, okay, this sounds real enough. But his teacher's like, he's at SCAD. And he made this animation, and it's called Little Prince. And they play it. And Ariel's like, now we were rewatching it. Ariel's like, they had somebody make this for this to feel more real. And I'm like, yes, it was Little Prince.
It was Little Prince.
The worst part is, and this is what got me. And now thinking about back, I feel stupid, because there is a animated film based off of a little book Prince. Called Little Prince, and he's sitting on the moon. So book, I was like, they stole this guy's flip book. They did it so well.
Last part of it. That's great. He brings all the animators in, and he shows us this reel of Mickey and Goofy, and Mickey's walking Pluto, and he's like, y'all see that? He gonna let him.
Why would Goofy let him do that to one of his own?
But then they cut it to Dude, and he's like, we never thought of it that way. And I was like, I think that happens in real life. But then they talked about the in-betweener.
It's a common realization. And I was like, hold on,
there's really some guy who draws this. And
yep, there's in-betweeners is a real thing.
Yeah. And I was like, so he brought this in-betweener up. He's trying to build people up. And then when he started getting super hood, I was like, but wasn't he the super nerdy brother?
Yeah, man.
Rodney King Ryan's that did him like this?
I think that's activated. You know, one of the themes, you know, it's like,
man.
Also, sometimes when you're the blackest person in the space, people start putting things on you, and you kind of adopt some of those things.
And you talk about that school in Savannah. I was like, Jazeer's ex-girlfriend goes there.
Scab.
And I was like, oh, man, like, it wasn't until he was doing the whole knee dance thing. I was like, that's. When did he become a professor?
He was holding court.
Yeah.
That was funny.
But I was like, everybody at first was I was up like, there, man. I wish I had a teacher who did that. This whole thing.
I can't remember the names, but he had everybody was quote unquote in his office. Oh, that was the other thing. When one day he brought me into his office and he opened his briefcase, he had a gun in there. And he was like, so I don't forget who I am. They think they know who I am. They don't know me.
And that's when I realized it was fake, right around there. I'm like, hold on. When did he become?
But then
guy?
They even throw in like, oh, he went on fishing trips. That's where he got the inspiration for the fishing trip.
From and his it's dad,
like,
yeah.
It's like, oh man.
I think connection to the pod. I think Robert Townsend was one of the people they mentioned.
Robert Townsend was one of the people he would hang out with.
I was like, hey, go to say.
Shout out Five Heartbeats. I found out this guy wasn't real.
Such a specific name.
That's a name that just makes sense around. Like, you could have said Robert Townsend
in 94,
and I believe you.
Yeah, exactly. No,
but the problem is they did bring Keenan Ivory Wayans in it. They brought in Living Color.
Did they?
So they did a little thing where they were talking about like black dads are only portrayed as this.
Oh,
this.
Yeah, that's right. They had color black thing. Femininity uh-huh. and black all femininity. That. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, so they did
it's
it.
It's like
they
were only like, just jokes. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. I was like, but the thing is, I was like, that's true. Like this, like this thing had me lost.
It's such a good. It's such
I think
a
that's what's so good about it is it, there's reality to what they were saying so, as well as it being a parody. So yeah.
So then yes, I was like, I think I didn't realize you hooked me or put me through the okie doke until afterwards. I was like, man, but it's still good enough to make me want to watch documentary.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's
it's
the
fine.
Problem. But getting back on this, did any of you guys watch the documentary?
I did not get around to the documentary. No. World Cup dominated.
There's some good little tidbits and nuggets about that, like the whole Roxanne kiss. Like they actually brought the girl in because the person who was doing the directing of it didn't bring in like voice actors. He did it all himself. Like, so when they were suggested, he was like, why don't like she go in there? So that's like a real kiss that they had to film because he's like, you're an adult, kind of. Like, are you comfortable with this? Because they wanted it to be real as possible and also as nervy as possible.
You're saying the girl, with the voice actors? I'm confused.
With the voice actors. So like that kiss thing wasn't two separate mics. They did that together at the same mic, on the same mic.
I see, I see.
So I was like, man, this was still like, above his time.
When the doc did come out, I remember seeing little clips and tidbits. Like, I know they did a lot of having people actually do the movements, like act out choreography and stuff like that. And then they would go back and animate it and stuff like that. So,
yeah. And another thing
common to all Disney animated.
And another thing that was funny, but I'm like, $9.95? Yeah. I don't know.
They did it in like tried Cinderella.
They tried to replace Goofy with Martin Sheen. Because the guy who did Goofy, he did the whole thing. In
the voice. Okay.
And the guy who was running it, he was like, you know who would be good? Martin Sheen. And dude, they looked at him and said.
That makes no sense.
That's what
you
the
sure
guy
don't
said.
Mean Martin Short? It, like,
maybe it's Martin Short. It's Martin something.
I don't think anyone would.
Because Martin Sheen just is so outrageous.
So Martin Short, is he with like, he got like a weird little peanut head?
It's a peanut head, but he's a comedic actor. I mean,
he's a comedic actor.
Martin Sheen's a very serious Glick, actor.
Yeah. Does a lot of stuff with Steve Martin. Was on SNL, I believe.
So then that guy.
Okay.
And they said no, because he didn't like the voice of Goofy.
How do I say that would have been crazy?
Yeah.
Martin
Sheen's
like, yeah.
But all in all,
he didn't like the voice of Goofy.
You really messed me up with the mockumentary, but I loved it. I rewatched it. I think twice for this. I listened to the soundtrack at least. Yeah. So I watched the movie before we did it. Mm-hmm. Then I watched it like, I think it was last week or this past Saturday just to watch it again. Cause I was like, oh, let me throw something on. But I listened to the soundtrack almost two or three times a week. Like while I'm working and typing notes. So I was very familiar.
So yeah.
It is, but they have that instrumental piece right on the back end. And that's still something chill to do, but no. I truly enjoyed this. But since we mentioned the soundtrack, I think we might as well get to the rankings.
I had one last tidbit.
How do we measure?
Okay.
Tidbit.
We mentioned Pauly Shore a couple times. And a very funny thing is that Pauly Shore asked for his role to be uncredited. Because he didn't want Disney to sell the movie on his name, similar to Robin Williams in Aladdin.
Oh.
So I think he thought way bigger of himself than everyone else did.
It's
like,
kind
of
crazy.
I mean, Pauly Shore, he's very popular at this time. He's in a lot of movies, but like he's not Robin Williams. So it's
he ain't
like,
Robin Williams for sure.
I don't know how much money he might have missed out on because of that, but like that's an insane request. And a very
that's crazy
egotistical time for Pauly Shore there. So
I was gonna say,
I thought that was
sure
a very funny note because I was Robert looking Townsend in the cast list on IMDb.
Also,
I'm like,
why would you not want the movie sold off your name like that?
I don't know.
He means you're a star.
He didn't want it to be like focused on him, I guess, but like he didn't want to be like pimped out like Robin Williams was. I don't understand it, but
I don't get it. Robin
Williams pimped out?
It doesn't make sense. No, I'm not saying he was, but like that might have been his feeling about it. No, I'm saying
like in what's the name's mind, like does anybody believe that Robin Williams was pimped out? Like
I don't know. I don't think Pauly Shore has the soundest logic here. I'm not defending him. That's just what it said.
Get it together, Pauly.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I think that ship has sailed. But anyway.
I found it. I was like, man, can I find this or not? He wanted to replace him with not Martin Sheen. Not Martin Short.
Martin Sheen.
But Steve Martin.
So I got a Martin right.
So it was Steve Martin, not Martin Sheen.
So the only thing I got right was the Martin and an S.
You got Martin. Yeah, so.
I think we found the Martin Short made sense.
Yeah.
As a middle ground.
I tried to make some sense of that, yeah.
It was Steve Martin. Okay. All right, I think. Go ahead, Rick. We can.
Yeah. No. I think it's good. Bet. Now we can go to the rankings.
How do we measure? Where do we stand?
At number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Number 7. Does this bother you?
So in 30th place.
So what do you want to see the most?
Rick, it is.
Sorry, I was reading something, and in the reboot of DuckTales in 2017, there's an episode where Goofy has a special appearance, and he shows off a picture of Max and Roxanne as adults dating.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I was like, ah.
Voiced by Martin Sheen. In DuckTales.
Oh, man. But for this one, we will start with you, Brian, since we started with Kyle on the last go around.
Just wanted everyone to know this is a 6 soundtrack album, 3-3, no tie six rule. No tie rule in effect.
Right.
So it is my number 6 is Lester's Possum Park. Number 5, I want to say, top 5, all bangers. Number 5, On the Open Road. And number 4, Stand Out.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Number 6 for me, Lester's Possum Park. Number 5, look, not bad. Let's do it a couple of times. It's not bad. Just 5 bangers ahead of it, obviously.
Yeah.
Number 5, Nobody Else But You. And number 4, Stand Out.
Okay. And before I give mine, I was reviewing my notes, and the other thing I will say about the mockumentary, even though it's not the mockumentary episode, when they picked the wrong dude of the name, I was like, I can see how
his name was Tom. Assumed it was Tommy. Thompson.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
That was funny.
But for myself, coming in at number 6, top 6, they're all great to me. Lester's Possum Park. Number 5. And this is the five were tough because they kept rotating. Number 5. Stand Out, and number 4, After Today.
Okay.
The opening number.
Stand Out is the first Tevin Campbell song that we hear, even though it's second as far as on the soundtrack is concerned. It's the one that Max is lip syncing to during the end of school
Assembly.
I was like,
press conference.
What happened back then?
Other songs talked about Lester's Possum Park is when they go to Lester's Possum Park. On the Open Road, which I had, is when it's a car song.
A lot of people involved, the other cars on the road.
You know what I was thinking of as I was watching that scene? As somebody who just watched, you can probably predict, based off what I just said.
Yes. La La Land?
Yes. As somebody who just watched La La Land, I was like, obviously this is a ode to other older movies as well, but I was like, there's a through line between, it's kind of like, I don't know if you guys heard, but Curry Barker, the guy who made Obsession, got the idea for the Wishing Willow, not because of the forever long monkey paw, you know, fable tale or whatever. He says he got the idea from watching an episode of The Simpsons of their Halloween terror. So it's like, sometimes you don't got to go all the way back.
The Simpsons was referencing the monkey paw, so that's
exactly.
Thing,
yeah. So it's like, but to him, it's thing a referencing episode. A thing.
Right, right.
Yeah. So I was like, I wonder, Damien Chazelle, around my age, a little older than me. I wonder.
Yeah, I think he's somewhere between our ages. Yeah.
Yeah, he's somewhere in there because he went to school at the same time as Pablo Torre. Shout out to Pablo Torre, Pulitzer Prize winner now.
Oh, he's 41. Yeah, so he's, okay.
Yeah. I wonder if nah, he's not that much younger. He was once younger, but not anymore.
He used to be younger. Yes,
he used to be younger.
That's correct.
When when Whiplash came out, he was
younger a bunch of years ago.
But I wonder if this may be like a stopgap for those two things. Like, hey, this was pulled off in a goofy movie that was cool, and then he goes and sees the actual inspiration. But it did give me a lot of La La Land vibes.
Yeah. The cars,
all the cars. All right. I think there was another song after today. The opening song Rick mentioned. And what was Kyle's five?
Those were the Nobody Else But You, the closing ish.
That's
not closing because I closes, but yeah.
But yeah,
the makeup song Goofy. Between Goofy and Max, right?
Yeah. Oh. Right.
So it's on you, Ryan. Your top three. Right.
Top three.
Pressure's off. Doesn't matter.
Pressure's off. I wanted to do the Rick. Now, this might be controversial. but all right, so number three for me, After Today, just great opening song. Just sets the template for everything.
It's very classic musical. It's such a classic musical song.
Home Economics is referenced in there. Homeroom, 44 minutes left to Homeroom. It's just good stuff all about. Number two, Eye to Eye. Eye to Eye, the ending power line number. Do we hear it more than one time? I think we hear it more twice. No?
It plays over the credits.
It plays over the credits. Standout is the one that we hear repeatedly.
No, I was going to say, I think Petey, when he's playing it on his speakers, I think, is that
he's
not
playing
Eye to
Standout.
Eye?
He's playing Standout.
He's playing Standout?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't hear Eye to Eye till the end. It's like
that's the only time it's revealed. Wow.
The big closing. Cool.
Yeah. Number one for me, therefore, is Nobody Else But You. Just a good father-son makeup song as they're in this river canyon thingy. Because their car somehow doesn't sink to the bottom of the
Also, could have been a thanks. Very I wrote this down. I forgot it. Thanks to the world's strongest fishing line, their car survives. Like holy hell, what's going on here?
So yeah.
All right. To me,
it's on you, Kyle.
Number three, On the Open Road. Number two.
Check.
My headphones just cut out, so if you guys respond to me, I won't hear it. Number two, After Today, because number one is Eye to Eye.
Mm. I'm not mad at that, since all six songs are great. But
okay, so my headphones are working. I think Joe's audio cut out. That's what happened.
Check.
Because you stopped hearing that shh sound.
Yeah, it was the background because he's got the original sound on. So
okay, my so, I'm not recording.
Here. But yeah, Eye to Eye, that grew on me. I think Joe's back. We got him.
And I'll
Go
ahead.
I had After Today number one for a little bit, but I never left my head, and I was like, this has to be number one.
I can respect that. I can respect that.
I don't understand what's not to... There's six songs.
And I was wondering what was not... Was
what
controversial.
Is to not be respected here?
Oh, was controversial for you, Eye to Eye being number two?
Are you asking... Oh, you're not recording? Yeah, because you're something cut out. Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah. So I'll just ask you when you come back then. So you'll hear it twice. So for myself now...
Yes.
I was wondering what was controversial, so we'll get that from the one Joe.
Yeah, he had Brian. After Today third, Eye to Eye second. Nobody
so
else.
So I think Eye
first.
To Eye was the
maybe
controversial one. It had to be. So
yes.
No one. So was that your controversial one, Eye to Eye?
Yeah, Eye to Eye not being the number one song. I feel like
I see.
It is the standout. Funny enough, it is the song that is stuck in my head, but also it is, this is one of those you've lived with it long enough and
it's not your favorite.
It doesn't, I guess appreciate nobody else, but like nobody else, but you always have me tearing up at the end, man. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, so it's just like that song more emotionally being older now just did something for me that Eye to Eye. Great song. Love it. I got myself in motion. Like, just a banger of a record.
That synth is
so good. Man.
And Kyle loves the synth. Kyle, I remember anything.
I'm a huge synth fan. Love a synth fan.
Like, who's not a sucker for a synth?
Phantom. Both Phantoms. Paradise and Opera. Got the synth.
So,
all right,
it was
Rick.
Funny because you said that was controversial. So, for me, my number three song.
Jokingly.
Eye to Eye.
Whoa.
Which was once.
Okay, so that's why there was so much build up to wanting to know what was controversial, because he's making his call
even
now.
More controversial.
No, prior to it today, it was my number five song.
It was your number five?
Prior to today. Because remember, I listened to this soundtrack.
Kind of crazy.
That's
crazy. All the time. But I think it's because I hear it so often. That is stuck. But no, number three, Eye to Eye. Number two.
I might understand.
On the Open Road. And number one, Team Haiti got it right. Nobody Else But You.
I had this fifth, and it's both your number one. I have a number five.
Yeah. But you said top five is really good. You said
sure.
it.
Yeah,
so you prefaced it. Yeah. So it's all good. Yeah, no. No hate on my end for that. But great, great six song soundtrack.
Yes.
If I may say so myself. So when I compare it to
the very short ones we've done, this might be the best.
Yeah,
I was
going
to say, when I compare it to like all the other ones.
I can't name them off the top of my head, but yeah.
Like, I love songs from The Lion King. I love songs from Little Mermaid.
That's true. Lion King and Aladdin, I think, were under.
I love songs from Aladdin.
Lion King's number one, sorry.
But if I'm doing, Lion King has the number one song of them all.
It has a number one soundtrack.
As a soundtrack, this one for me is still number one. But that's just me. That's just me.
I love Lion King. Really think about it. Let me look at this Lion King soundtrack.
I think Lion King's unbeatable.
And I love Aladdin, so. But while we think about it, why don't we get some lines?
True.
Your favorite line.
My favorite line.
How do you pick one, right?
And I think one of the sort of lines that resonates most with me is.
I don't know. It's very interesting. I'm looking at Lion King.
He's
five
really
tracks.
He's really
Circle of Life, not necessarily.
Banger.
It's a banger. It's a banger, but.
Banger opening.
I was going to say, I just can't wait to be king. Banger. Be banger prepared. Banger.
Giant banger.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna.
Fun song.
But it's a
great thing. It is a. That's what I'm saying. Like, if we can step away from. See,
the thing is,
Kyle, we also have those things like, it's Eye to Eye. like we have lived with it the same way you have lived with that. So it's like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Hakuna Matata, if you look at it, like it's a great saying. It's really one cultural verse repeated
cultural like atom bomb.
Is and then Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I mean, great record. Great record.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I think it's closer than we'd like to say. I think both of them are clearing Aladdin, if I'm not mistaken, though.
Oh yeah, Aladdin on revisit was like okay. It was okay.
The song you really got a whole new world, and everything else is kind of like, all right, cool.
Yeah, you have like the best Dizzy song ever, and the rest.
Yeah, you got a whole new world and Prince Ali, and that's kind
of Prince Ali's pretty good.
No, I like the Gotta Jump.
Friend Like Me.
Jump Ahead, yeah. I'm not saying
Jump Ahead's song. Okay. Jump Ahead's all right.
But I'm saying,
I get it.
In comparison to the other two, it's like, where do they rank? If we, you know what?
It's third. It's a clear third.
We do an episode this year. We rank all the Disney songs we've covered so far.
Ooh. What are we doing?
That sounds like fun.
We're looking to mix it up too. That many Disney animated joints, so it might only end up being like
it might be like a top 20.
Yeah, I was it might be end up being 20.
Well, there's Hercules, there's Little Mermaid, so we're getting
Hercules ain't making it. No,
Beauty and the Beast, Beauty and the Beast,
Hercules.
They got a couple of joints. They got a couple of joints.
Hey, I sing that one song. My homegirls, when homegirls singing her love song that she doesn't love him. I'll be singing that song a lot.
I'll say, I recommended it, man. I'm just joking, guys. Just joking. I like the soundtrack better than Little Mermaid, but then
I'd say we can't.
Are we counting the Cocos and are we counting?
No.
So no Disney Pixar.
No live animation. No Pixar.
What it would be is all the under eights.
Yes, that is true too.
Got it.
All the under eights.
It would just be a mix of all the under eights. Because, I mean, if we've done a proper eight or above, that's its own thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like Cal's behind it now.
I'd have to go back. It's a brainstorm. There's three of us.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
How many were there? I think it was.
Look back at the
track. But we'll just say Disney, like true Disney cartoon, not Pixar, not live action. So. Mm-hmm. I can't add brother on there.
Newsies ain't going to be in there.
Beauty and Beast does not qualify. It's over eight.
But that's what I said. Just all Disney movies that are cartoons.
Beauty and the Beast
is... it's eight. It's exactly eight.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our below. Rankings. It was eight.
Yeah.
Eight or below.
No, under eight. Under eight.
No, it has to be under
eight. But we want to throw some of the money, no?
No, because special episode.
Dude, then we're going to be ranking 50 songs.
That's what I'm saying. We got to do a special episode plus. Of our special episodes.
But if it was seven, we would have had it in there. It's just one extra song. That's all I'm saying.
We have to
there
have
has to be
standards.
A cutoff. There has
to
be.
The cutoff would be eight and below.
No,
because eight and above is the qualifier. So eight and below can't be the special qualifier.
Yeah.
Because then it's both.
Look, you got two lines
eight
today.
Can't be both.
You're not getting this one. All right, buddy.
You're not pushing it.
All right. Back to the lines, I guess.
To the lines.
I'm just trying to have my French guy on there.
To the lines. Rick's and only Rick's number two line.
So your jokes are all, let's face it, prehistoric. And your music sounds like monkeys in a zoo. But when life becomes distressing, who will I be SOSing? If you're having trouble guessing, here's a clue. Though he seems intoxicated, he's just highly animated, and he's nobody else but no.
I like the intoxicated part. But
I had a feeling that was a Rick.
The more I listen to it, the more I realize this song reminds me of like me and Jordan, me and Jazeera. Like when I'm banging on their music, I'm like, I sound just like Goofy. So then I was like,
annoying your children. Yeah.
Oh,
what is this racket you're listening to?
I even told someone the other day that like you guys called me like the old guy, like, oh, here goes Rick old guy moment. Like,
well, you were doing like a kids these days kind of thing.
So. No, but that's why I told someone, because we were talking, because he's also an old guy. He's like older for sure. He's like in his 60s. And I'm like, I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what is this crap?
It comes for us all. I do it, all the time. Ariel's always like, you're not that old. And I'm like, but they're wrong.
But they're younger. And that's what matters. And they're doing it wrong.
Who's in their 30s, right? Like early 30s. Back in my day.
Like, you had different days.
I was, as I was explaining to Ariel, I was like, the thing is, you don't, I end up being around people younger than me, literally sometimes half my age more often, because I go to play basketball. And some of these kids, I was playing basketball with a kid after I ended up playing. I was like, how old are you, man? He was like 16. I was like, literally half my age.
Just turned to dust.
I was like, Jesus Christ. So yeah,
like that's why your knees are so spry.
Oh man, I was like, yeah, no wonder you. And no,
it's over, man.
Actually,
it's all downhill from here.
That actually, the funny thing is, that turned into a back in my day, because after one game, like the kid was like, ah, I need a break. I'm tired. I'm like, I'm ready to go, and you're tired. Oh, you need to get it together, buddy.
But back like in my you're day, channeling,
I, played, I was like, we're in the AC in a gym. I was like, back in my day, we played outside, sun ablazing in the summer. I was like, what are you talking about?
You were channeling Richie and Michael and Gary, man.
Yeah,
you were pulling one of those. Back to back.
One of the
back.
Best scenes of all time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, but no, I thought, no, this that song and those lines just made me feel like talking to Jazeera or even Jordan recently, even about Toy Story, trying to get her to convince her to watch a great Disney Pixar movie. Mm. I'm like pulling teeth, like, come on, you
good
watch
luck getting
this,
a kid
this,
to watch
this.
Something longer than 5 minutes.
No, the funniest part is halfway through it, she just starts giggling. And I'm like, Jordan, what's funny? This isn't even funny. Like, this is a bland scene. And she's like, no, I'm laughing because this is pretty good. And I was like, because she knew the whole time she's watching it with the mindset of this sucks. This isn't gonna be good.
This
He's
dumb
forcing
thing
me
my dad
to watch.
Likes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So when she
turns
starts,
out one of the best movies ever.
And the funniest part is at the end of the movie, she says, I think I'll watch number two now. I can't convince her to watch five. So I'm like, I'm gonna have to go one movie
well,
by
watch
one movie.
One to four.
So yeah, we're gonna go movie
she's
to
watch
movie.
One to four. Just gotta learn why Woody's five. Not there.
So
why he appears.
Yeah, so no. But go ahead, continue with the lines.
All right, my number one line.
But nobody else but you, we've turned into a true blue duo heart. Times we've had a few,
like we're thrown in the drink,
like we're tossed out of town.
But when I start to sink, hey, I'd rather go down.
Nobody else but
why are you?
Aw, Dad.
Just a great, great tune.
That's a great back to back.
Oh, man. I think my voice is trying to reemerge from me right now. But
I think so.
One of the other reasons I really wanted to pick this line was because rare do we get a male duet on a song.
True.
And then add another
harmony or something.
Add another layer of difficulty where a guy has to sing as a Goofy.
Yeah, I really appreciate Bill Farmer here in the two songs he sings. It's like you're doing this insane voice, and then you have to actually sing,
and then you have to actually like deliver
it's,
on
it's
songs.
It's not easy. Yeah,
not but easy. I love the build up to the final crescendo where they're going back and forth and everything. Just good, wholesome. You know, make you wish you had a dad, right?
Yeah, right,
Kyle's
say, yeah.
Number one line.
If the squeaky wheel's always getting the grease, I'm totally devoted to disturbing the peace, and I'll do it all again when I get it done, until I become your number one. No method to the madness and no means of escape, gonna break every rule or bend them all out of shape. It ain't a question of how, just a matter of when. You get the message that I'm trying to send.
that is Powerline, Tevin Campbell. Standout.
Standout.
Yeah, I just really love if the squeaky wheel's always getting the grease, I'm totally devoted to disturbing the peace. That's a great line. And, you know, just the rest. It's the whole song's about getting attention, standing out, till they notice me.
What I was going to say, one of the other things, last two things I'm going to bring up about the mockumentary. Oh. One of the other things that I appreciated was when he's like, yeah, if you notice when he's singing Stand Out, oh, how'd you not get that goal? When he's singing Stand Out, he goes and dunks a basketball because my dad was trying to say it's the only time anybody will look at a black man when he's being exceptional. So he's singing, dancing, and basketballing. Like, yep. Come on.
It's the
only
time they'll accept him. Yep.
So hilarious. And then the other thing is after he gets his car is found in the lake and he isn't seen from again. But then they find Goofy's shoes, Goofy's gloves as like the evidence.
Insane. The shoes was nuts.
Bigfoot.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I was going to say Jessica Rabbit. You named Roxanne. You named Jasmine. Jessica Rabbit was one.
Yeah, I was say not my generation.
Yeah, back in the day.
Not of my gen. I don't think I've ever seen that movie. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? I've never seen that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to watch it.
It's a good one.
So, heard of her. Heard of her, but never actually seen.
I'll take the other two ahead of her, but still, I'm just saying.
Rick's.
But Rick's number one line.
Me and Max relaxing like this the old
thirst and dragon breath
in
and
a buddy acne. Buddy kind
I'm
of
so mad. I think I may
when
explode.
I see that highway, I could cry.
You know that's funny. So could I just
be out on the open road?
So I chose this one because this another one of those duet type of things, but I didn't actually ever pay attention to what they're saying, and Max had me cracking up.
Actually, kid syndrome.
Yeah, Goofy's talking about relaxing. He's like worse than dragon breath and acne. He's like he wants to explode. I was like, man, Max, they're on two opposite sides. Where one thinks they're having a blast.
Goofy is
oblivious. Man. He's
oblivious, yeah.
Yeah. It's Goofy.
He's very, very not in tune with what's happening.
No.
Oblivious is what I was looking for.
The word you just said, yes. You talking about earlier or just now?
Just now. is that what oblivious. You said?
I said oblivious and you said, yes, oblivious.
You said oblivious twice.
No, it took me a second.
Yeah, very goofy episode.
Took me a while to register that. My bad.
No, that was just a funny episode.
Oh, man. But yeah, all right.
Bye. Now we're moving on to favorite characters and favorite performers.
And a certain artist.
On the artist.
The artist.
Spotlight.
So for this one, since we gave Brian the first go-round in lines, I'll give Kyle the first go-round right here.
I think you got the first go-round in rankings. So,
sorry, rankings, yes. You got
I mean, for performer, I think just because we just talked about how hard that probably is, I'll pick Bill Farmer as Goofy, right? Like, having to sing in the Goofy voice, not an easy task. Character's a little tougher. I don't really like Max. He's kind of annoying. Don't like Pete. He was a jerk. PJ's kind of nothing. I'm going to go with Roxanne. I'm never watching the second one. I'm going with Roxanne. I think for some of the points that Joe made, right? Like she seems approachable. She's not like the mean girl, popular girl kind of thing. It's a realistic,
very, nice, very sweet
crush. You know,
has a pit bull for a father.
Well,
figuratively,
we don't really know. We don't really know. He's not very vocal.
Well, the menacing ground was more than enough.
Menacing.
Of course, of course. Mm-hmm. The classic dad, you know.
Yeah. So. Alrighty. Rick, who's next?
All right, your turn, Brian. You're
gonna go. Okay, I was saying.
No, no, I'm not going to do what I did that first time I did it when I went with myself first.
I thought you were going to do that.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that.
What I thought you were going to do was, because Joe went for rankings and Kyle went for general thoughts, I'll go for but
the host's privilege.
Character, even though I want to go Max, and Max is who I want to go with, but I think that might be who Rick's going with. I'm going to go with Bobby Zemirski, a.k.a. Pauly Shore's character.
Oh, that was awesome. Who the hell?
Yeah. Love that character. And
Zemirski.
As far as performers, I'm going to go with Tevin Campbell. I'm going to go with Tevin Campbell performing as Powerline.
The Powerline.
So for myself, favorite character, honorable mention, I'll go with Goofy. But I was choosing Stacy, Roxanne's Ooh. Friend, who, for the most part, she tried to protect Roxanne for Max. Like, she kept Max, like, she was part of the team. She was a good friend. She was a good wing woman, mm-hmm. I would say. She was a great wing woman. So, but for performer.
Hold on. You said she was trying to protect Roxanne
protect other people from Roxanne
for Max. Oh, okay, Max. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was insulating like her.
Yeah, she was insulating her. Yeah,
gotcha. Gotcha. I was gonna say one of my favorite moments is when it was so easy to when Max, you know, tells this tall tale that he's gonna go on stage with Powerline.
Powerline's invited him.
It would have been so easy for when everyone's watching the show for her to be like, "Oh, he lied, da 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 da." But she's like, "No. He's going to be on there. He told you he's going to be there." So I believe helping her. I was like,
she was the one.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Usually that earlier, obviously bashes on the guy. So
like afterwards, when that girl is trying to talk to Max after the performance and he's leaving the principal office, she's like, get away, girl.
Yeah. True.
I was like, all right. So that'll just lead me to my favorite performer. I'll go with Jason Marsden for his singing as Max, and we'll go straight into our favorite scenes.
Oh, yes.
And for favorite our scene. Favorite scenes, I will go first.
Okay.
What I'm going to choose first, I'm going to choose an easy one for the first one. Even though the song might have been last, the Lester Possum Park, the things that were happening in it was hilarious when Goofy goes
pretty insane
and he's hanging upside down take a picture with the possums.
Goofy got no chill.
Yeah, great scene, especially when he's yodeling and he's in the song. So I'll leave it up to you guys who wants to go next.
Kyle, I'll defer to you.
I really liked when Bigfoot was doing a puppet show. Like, it was completely unnecessary. I don't know why he was doing it, but he felt the need to, and I enjoyed it.
So I already talked about Hi Dad Soup, so I'm not going to touch on that one again. Mm-hmm. I want to touch on another one that it's been a while since I've seen the movie, so I think I just forgot about it. But one of my favorite scenes is when after Max is now the cool kid, he skates away, you know, he's everybody loves him. Gets home, his dad has all this stuff. And he's like, "Oh, where you going, Dad?" He's like, "Oh, I'm going on a road trip with my best bud." And he's like, "Oh, who? Donald Duck?"
That was really good.
I was like, "Whoa."
Cuz you kind of forget, like, it's so like insular, this world. You're like, wait, this is a Disney movie with other, like, Disney characters exist.
They exist
somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Like, it's kind of like when you watch a Marvel movie.
Even on the open road. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of it's kind of like a Marvel movie where it's like
saying,
wait,
who, Ant-Man?
So nobody else is going to come. Like, yeah, everybody lives in New York. So
right.
It's very funny. Who, I was Donald like, Duck. Oh, man. That was so funny.
So I know Rick has runners up, but.
Yeah, I was going to say,
No, yeah. I like Kyle go.
Okay. Well, it was more of a question than a scene, because I don't know if this was maybe a thing in the 90s or not, but was there ever like pay-per-view for a concert? Did that happen?
I think so.
Because that was like the big thing that like they're all going to get together to watch
that
the
actually
Powerline
was
concert
a thing
on pay-per-view.
Back
yeah,
in
I guess
the day.
It was. If it was like a really big show.
If it was a big show and it was someone and they were going to get Madison Square Garden or somewhere where it's going to be.
Because I only
like,
think of it for like wrestling and boxing. So I don't know if like concerts was another thing.
Well,
I guess it was.
I don't know. Did they specifically say pay-per-view?
They did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're like,
say,
we're
I
all
going
to go
like
to what's it? Like, that was the, supposed to be the date.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. No, that was supposed to be the date to go watch it at whoever's house it was for. Oh,
okay.
And they say pay-per-view.
Oh, wow.
No, there were pay-per-view concerts back then.
Okay.
But no, for another scene, well, I won't even go with the scene. I'll just go with.
I did zero research, by the way.
with action, right?
I'd ask you guys.
So, when Goofy's busting out the, what is it? The perfect cast. Yeah. And then Max comes out.
The
I was like,
song?
Was I the only one growing up and even as an adult who's still trying to do the dance moves?
Perfect the perfect cast?
Yeah, I'm trying to see how can
I've
I do
never,
that
I've
as
never
a dance
cast
move?
A fishing
no. Never cast a fishing
rod.
Oh, I'm
because
just
it looked
the,
like a
yeah.
dance
move. Yeah, okay. Because he then tells him to do it as a dance move, yeah.
He does it on the stage, yeah.
So I'm like, man, I wonder if I could bust some of those moves.
Perfect cast comes up a lot.
Perfect cast.
It's a big through line.
I wonder where it started.
Gotta have some
Goofy
through lines.
Movie. Maybe.
Speaking of the perfect cast, one of my favorite scenes, the scene that got me, man, I was on the verge. If I wasn't just like watching with Ariel and I was also like doing the dishes and everything, because this is not a movie I had to like sit down and like watch because I've seen it a thousand times. It was more a refresher than anything else.
Offended.
But
I'm offended.
Come on.
Come on.
After Nobody Else Like You, and they notice the waterfall and they go down and one saves the other, and then Goofy ends up slipping, and then Max now has to do the perfect cast in the air, basically, and gets him. And then it slow mo's and in the mist, and Goofy turns around, and his eyes are, man, they hug and everything. I was like, oh, man.
It's big.
Man.
It's big.
Got me. You got me.
It was big.
But yeah, that was a beautiful moment. Great scene. Love that scene.
The movie is just chock filled with great and wonderful scenes. But you know what else the movie has?
What is it got?
It has a score. A Metacritic.
That's the play game. Why do I care?
I used to say I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
We are the Tam Haters of the Brunch.
Bad times. Looks like you're
running out of time.
Celebrities look just like us.
The swoop in from off screen to me.
I didn't know if he was good. I was like, all right.
That was quite a moment.
I was like, our host
I was ready
is
to throw another scene out there.
Yeah, I was racking the brain.
But then he goes right into, it also has a score. And that score is from Metacritic because this is the Metacritic game. Metacritic is a website that compiles reviews from all across the internet and other places into a score. From 0 to 100, Rick knows that score. Joe and I will try to guess it.
And you know what? We are tied now.
We are
tied at.
I'm on a heater.
6-6.
I've been blowing
with,
it
with no ties. We haven't got a tie yet.
Having an official tie, crazy.
Poor tied.
But 6
record.
2-6 record wise.
I'm on a heater. I know that much. I think I won my last
two in a row.
At least 3 out of 4. Was that?
So you guys might know better kind of the reception at the time. That's the
Kyle.
I know it's a cult classic.
I was like 5, man. I don't know what the critics are thinking.
You were plugged in.
I know what I think. I don't know the critics.
Plugged into the culture.
I sent my number.
Okay. I sent my number.
Well, I was going to say. So I was, if you saw me guffawing while looking up at my TV, James Cameron was shown on the screen. James Cameron's in the game. I was like, JC. Who is this? I was like, I know this director. Who is
Big
it? And I was
Jim.
Like, ah, it's James.
So.
Is that Brad Pitt in the pink hat?
Was that?
It's a love.
Julie Ertz was there. Saw Julie Ertz was there. That makes sense, though.
There was a guy in like a pink bucket hat. Couldn't tell who it was.
Oh, yes. This is Brad Pitt. I'm seeing it now. So you're ahead of me by a little bit.
He looks insane. Oh, am I? Okay. I miss Big Jim.
Someone watching in Spain. I'll say this.
I'm watching in Telemundo, yes.
So much better in Telemundo. Oh, the it's games
so,
are.
It's all better. It's so
much. I got it on mute, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, like, nothing against the other broadband. It's so great. Like you said, that one thing about someone like jumping over, that's me every time. If I'm not watching and I hear the announcer start to rev up,
it's like,
but we got two scores. I'm not going to beat around the bush because it's late.
It is late.
And also, one of these scores is what it should have been. We have 80 damn. And we have 70.
Hmm. Wow.
For some reason, the newer critics, because you know they're still critiquing in the Metacritics, watching it as adults instead of kids.
The me's out there.
Well, I think anybody who watched it and is a critic is watching it as an adult. But
correct.
Watching it out of time.
Out of time.
Yes,
more they dropped it down to a 53.
Wow.
Whoa.
Blasphemous.
That is absurd. Yeah.
That's offensive.
This might be one of the times I need to see what the Rotten Tomato is just to see if they got it right at least.
I wouldn't.
Rotten Tomato has a 64.
They got better.
This is not good enough.
This is not good enough. You know, because it's culturally relevant.
Okay, there's an initial response under the critical response. So upon release, the film received polarizing responses from critics. Most film critics did not comprehend that Goofy could have an emotional side. Robert Ebert gave the movie 3 out of 4 stars. He understood, noting that he only got to see a portrait in his initial viewing. Before a technical problem in the projector booth ended the screening somewhere between 30 to 40 minutes into the movie based on
information. He just thought he knew it was great.
Much less than that. He later clarified that the movie was worth 3 after viewing the entire movie as well.
Okay, well, that makes sense to watch the whole thing.
He gave it 3 off of 40 minutes and then went back and gave it.
That's why I said, like, if you got the initial critics versus now, two different. This is the retrospective look that's ruining things for everybody.
I don't know, actually. As I'm reading more, there are a lot of other critics. There was a guy in Austin that gave it a 1 star back in the day.
All right, we don't have to dissect who.
I gotta get to the bottom. There's also a retrospective.
That guy was not a homie. That guy was not a homie.
Somebody from the New York Times. He was not a homie. Somebody from the New York Times back then said too rambly, emotionally diffused. A retrospective has gone under. So this is still on Wiki. Since its release, the Goofy movie has undergone critical reevaluation and is now appreciated as a true cult classic. In the 2020s, editorial for Rotten Tomato, somebody wrote featuring a small-scale story that kids can see themselves in, an excellent portrayal of teenage life, father-son relationship, and crucially, a soundtrack filled I had never seen it. It was crazy.
The Haitian just came out of you.
You had a look in your eyes I've never seen before.
I thought you froze for a second. I was like, do I need to help?
Possible word could this be?
A combination of seeing it and hearing my voice and how I'm saying it just threw me off. But crucially, a soundtrack filled with earworms to rival the work of Rice and Mankin. The movie has something for everyone. So actually, retrospectively, it actually has probably gone up. A lot of people back in the day actually were harder on it than everybody else.
Anyone I know who talks about it loves it. Yeah.
Yeah. So upon rewatch, you'll love it too, Kyle.
It's a beloved film.
Yep.
And it's short for a rewatch if we ever do one.
I'd rather rewatch it than watch Extremely Goofy. Good short movie. I mean, Extremely Goofy.
I watched the movie. About to go watch Star Goof Troop.
Okay. Nice. So, by the way, we never said, but I lost.
Yes.
You can't win.
your day, sir?
I had 80.
That was very important.
Kyle had 70. So for the people that 70, yeah. obviously follow along and make sure. So, yeah. All righty. Well, Rick, what else do we got?
Fellas, I don't know if you guys know any critics or some comments from the company who might have said something, but if you do, now would be the time. If not, we can just piece it out.
Weird comments.
Some comments.
Go on social media and read the comments.
I'm trying to watch soccer.
We got company.
Comments from the company. We got comments from the company. On Letterboxd, checking out a couple people here. My homie John D'Amico, Jared's brother. All he said was yes and liked it. great job, John. Sam, well, this has to be appropriate.
I think we could.
This has to be appropriate. I want to make. I want to make Lisa scream. Yee-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hee. I'm usually
the classic goofy.
Tough one.
Trying to figure out who Lisa was.
So I looked that up. It's one of the people in the beginning, the After Today song. I think it's
He picked, one of the popular girls.
Yeah, like one of the popular girls.
So you
that's all I got from my Kyle. Anything from you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You don't have to see two reviews from Yumio back to back.
Yeah.
Hey.
mine was more like a Max movie. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah.
Good save. But if you want to leave a comment for the company, don't forget to hit us up on all social platforms at Who Does a Pod. That's at Who Does a Pod. If you want to get into the Discord, the secret Discord, to chit chat with me and Kyle. Did I put the Warriors thing in there?
Yeah, Warriors has a release date.
Release time. It's just March 2027 right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can see all the stuff that I'm dropping in there. You know, Hamilton related or just random. Jeremy, Kyle putting in there about the Savannah Banana guy who's now. Who was on Broadway, and I had a story
was the Phantom
that Jeremy said on Pitch Clock that basically said that I think like a day before you posted that clip, funny enough. So yeah. But yeah, if you want to go to there, click our pinned post on Blue Sky or a link in bio on Instagram. That'll get you into the Discord. Yeah, I think that's it. Kyle.
We are part of the Anulo Network. Go to anulo.co to check out all the other great shows we have there. And while you're there, you can check out that merch page.
Merch.
Because we got some shirts.
Shirts!
Shirts for the Ham Boys, shirts for the company, shirts for that big Link Energy. All those shirts in many different colors, because if you buy a shirt in every color, you will win the Ham Boy Challenge, which means
we will go on a road trip to... whatever lake they're going to, but halfway through, I'll probably X that out and take us to Los Angeles. But during that road trip, we'll perform the 6 songs from this soundtrack, the 46 songs from the Hamilton soundtrack. And if you head over to headphonejoe.etsy.com, that's headphonejoe.etsy.com, no O or E in the phone only, guys, and get one of each shirt, not even every color, just one of each shirt, you'll complete the Headphone Joe Challenge. And then we can perform the 45 songs from my catalog, TV Season 2, Outside, 30, Mama's Boy, good stuff. But yes, that is challenges. You can also find me on all social platforms at Joe A. Isidore. All social platforms at Joe A. Isidore. You can also check me out on Letterboxd reviewing movies at Joe A. Isidore. Gonna try to get both Supergirl and Toy Story in this week. Gonna be tough with the World Cup and everything. But yeah, Kyle, where can we find you?
That was Lake Destiny, Idaho, is where they're originally Lake Destiny, supposed Idaho. To be going. You can find me on Letterboxd as well under Hurl Hauser, where I keep a list of all the shows and movies that we review here. Mostly movies. I don't know why I say shows every time. All the movies we review on this pod. You can also find me on the Discord. Rick, what about you?
Well, you can definitely find me on Letterboxd. And occasionally, well, no, I'm on Discord too. So Letterboxd and Discord. I'm even in the World Cup sports chat. So look at me shouting myself out.
Branching out.
But aside from that, you can find me nowhere. Yeah. If I can't love me, I love me some me.
All right. Take us out.
What is that? That is.
You can mention next episode.
Jerry Maguire. No, I was thinking about where it's from, like. What? Where he's like, I love me some me. Cuba Gooding Jr.
I'm so confused.
Sorry.
I don't think Jerry says that in that movie.
No, it's Cuba. He's the narcissist.
Now it makes sense. Why'd you say that? Rod Tidwell.
So next great week, name. What will we be covering, fellas?
We are covering Bye Bye Birdie from 1963. This is a rental only unless you want to watch it on Roku with ads or acquire it any way you can. But yes. This is starring Anne Margaret, who we had in Tommy a couple episodes ago. So I said, you know what? Let's check this one out.
Also, I believe a Dick Clark joint, if I'm not mistaken.
I have no idea. Is he in it? Or
I think he's in it. I think he's in it.
Okay. Because joint makes me think he made it.
When I was looking it up, Anne Margaret is not even
Dick Van Dyke. Is that what you're thinking of?
Dick Van Dyke. It's a Dick Clark, my bad.
Martin Sheen situation.
And Margaret wasn't even the top billing, which was funny when I was
no. It's Dick Van Dyke, then Paul Lynde, and then Anne Margaret.
So, but all right.
All right. Now,
I don't think any of us have seen it, so we're going.
I never even heard of it.
Going in today. Cold. So, you haven't watched Mad Men.
Exactly.
So, I have been your host, Yumiyo, and I was here with. Is.
Me? His right hand man.
And
left.